If everyone will stand, we'll read the scripture. It's Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You may be seated. We'll hear the Christian inaugural address.
When was the last time you heard another Christian share a vision with you that wasn't floating in the ether of rapture prose or pious platitudes, but rather something of a vision that was down to earth, unpretentious, understandable, and provides the kind of hope that foments victory? Well, this is a sequel to my sermon, Jesus Christ for President, because I realized what good is it with the premise without a follow-up as to how things would be should people rally together in their desire for a government of Christ himself. Therefore, a vision is a plan with a purpose. And a Christian identity inaugural address serves the purpose of familiarizing ourselves with what could be our destiny and reality. Unfortunately, our people have been more conditioned and programmed to an apocalyptic end of the world than an end of the mystery religions and prophetic Babylon. I think the point of Christ's return is that the bride has finally made herself ready. And if we could envision an inaugural address, fictional as it may be, where God's people, Israel, are on the verge of renewing her vows of marriage, we may not perish after all. I have only given this sermon twice before, at the time of George W. Bush being crowned for a second term, during the deification of Obama's second term in 2013, and I give it now, January 8th, just prior to the Trump era beginning, January 20th. Let us now prepare our lives for what must come to pass. It's an inaugural address that Trump should give but won't. There is so much speculation about Trump from all quarters as to what he's actually going to do that no one knows what the future portends. Even in Christian identity, there are some who think he's a judgment from God, while others seem to think he's a deliverer. The question is he a friend of Jesus or a friend of Antichrist Jews? I guessed wrong that it was Hillary's turn to rule the country, which she coveted so much. However, the spirit of Jezebel is alive and well. If Obama and the Clintons aren't prosecuted for the highest crimes of corruption, it's not that they're forgiven, but that the Babylonian system is even more corrupt than what we imagined, if that's even possible. And that will say a lot about Trump turning a blind eye to the rampant treason, most of which comes from Jews. New psyops and false flags being exposed, such as Pizzagate and WikiLeaks, requires this speech to be modified from just 4 years ago as things develop nationally and worldwide, although in principle, there's nothing new under the sun. In any event, I expect to see a continuation of Mystery Babylon falling apart while Christian identity continues to spread the good news opposing the fake news. The one thing we can count on during this time of uncertainty is the sure word of prophecy to help us identify our paths of righteousness. The address is not time specific, but this time around, I'm thinking 2017 needs to hear a unique unfolding of history. You'll have to use your imagination to appreciate this vision. It is not Mark Downey giving the speech, but someone else, much more qualified to represent the office, someone who exudes the Holy Spirit. I would envision a composite of Patrick Henry, Charles Lindbergh, and perhaps George Lincoln Rockwell, an archetype man of God with a racial consciousness being fully equipped with the Christian identity message, having been duly elected as the presiding officer of the United States, in subservience to the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, and his eternal jurisdiction, giving this potent historic speech to we the people of God. Now, I know this isn't the whole enchilada, but in a vision, the intent is to give you a glimpse of God's plan so that you may have more than a glimmer of hope. I believe that a snowball can turn into an avalanche. I recently saw the movie The Hunger Games, in which one reviewer said, "A glimpse of our future if the cancerous growth of government is not checked," end quote. Well, the film is set 74 years after a popular uprising that failed to overthrow a corrupt centralized federal government. We are at a similar crossroads. As punishment for the attempted uprising, the all-powerful government required each of the 12 districts to volunteer a young boy and girl to participate in an annual blood sport of killing down to the last kid. Don't you think it's interesting that it was 12 districts, 12 tribes of Israel? The event served as the opiate of the masses to distract society from the fact that they were all slaves living under a despotic tyranny. The Rockefeller-type president, played by Donald Sutherland, probably gave the most poignant line in the whole movie that gives us a glimpse of one possible future. Speaking to an aide, he said, "Hope is one thing stronger than fear. A little hope is effective. A lot of hope is dangerous. A spark is fine as long as it is contained." And then the aide began to say, "So," to which the president interrupted, "So contain it." That is what faces us today. Are we being contained? Christianity is all about hope. It's about hope predicated on miracles and the supernatural power of God. It's about a snowball's chance in hell to become an unstoppable avalanche of faith that cannot be contained. They tried to contain it in the first century, but the true believers had the vision of eternal life. Where there is no vision, we are hopeless and perish as our taskmasters envision. If in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What if the disciples and apostles of Christ were contained 2,000 years ago? I shudder to think of what life would be. This is something we would not only like to hear, it is something we must hear. Visualize, if you will, then, these words spoken, hopefully sometime in the near future, and put yourself there. It begins with a church service in the morning, a procession to the Capitol building, an oath of office followed by a 21-gun salute. The president is introduced and proceeds to address the nation. "My fellow white Christian Americans, to the vast majority of our kindred here today and to those who are with us in spirit, this is a most solemn and historic occasion. For nearly two centuries, the transfer of power between two sides of the same coin has routinely taken place. What is different today is that the office of the president returns to the sentiments of George Washington, and I too shall preside until the King of Kings returns to rule and reign upon the earth. Washington said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." Pray for me and your new administration as we embark upon honoring the Word of God. Through much toil, hardship, and political tribulation, we have overcome the oppressors of true Christianity. And thus the American people now witness the miracle of and revival of the government of Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us that when the wicked rule, the people mourn, but when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. The people can take solace that the door of the White House now belongs to our Lord and Savior. Jesus said, "I am the door." Therefore, we have an open door policy and welcome our fellow Christians to enter the body politic and help govern our individual lives, family, community, county, state, and nation. I started this campaign for the presidency several years ago as a war, not a war against poverty, drugs, terror, or other sovereign countries, but a war against treason from within, which was the cause of the other aforementioned wars. None dared call it such who depended upon feeding from the federal trough or who feared its iron yoke. Nevertheless, the American people reached the crossroads of their manifest destiny as to whether they would submit to the gods of totalitarianism or if they would be free with liberty and justice for all emanating from our Father in heaven. We chose the latter and believed with all our hearts that the truth shall make us free. We have prayed, "God bless America," but not until recent years did we understand the import of repentance to alleviate the judgment from above. After 9/11 and the disastrous fallout from the ensuing wars, America said enough, but didn't really know enough of what. But God did, and we are now on the right path of Acts 3:26. Quote, "For you first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways," end quote. We had to kill the old man to see this day of blessing. Never before in the history of this young nation have patriotic whistleblowers, intercessory prayer teams, and Christian warrior activists come together to expose such wickedness in high places and, in essence, treason against the American people. Some have even paid the ultimate price of freedom with their lives. The transition process from the two-party system to Christian governance has been as peaceful as Republicans and Democrats playing musical chairs from times past. With violence, they persecuted the peacemakers. There have been assassinations and the politics of personal destruction against the saints of the Most High, who sacrificed their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to make this day of dependence upon the Almighty Creator possible. We were always reminded of Thomas Jefferson extolling to future generations, "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. But our present-day heroes did not die in vain, as the murderers are now in custody, and their house of cards are falling, revealing the inner workings of a shadowy oligarchy. We have also cracked the cabal of rogue agents who have thrived on the MKUltra project. In the days and months ahead, we will be revealing the true culprits behind the JFK assassination, the Oklahoma City bombing, and 9/11 by name. The war on terror was engineered largely on brainwashed suicide bombers in a game of Marxist dialectics. Dozens of other dastardly deeds and engineered disasters will be documented and prosecuted as well. Perhaps the most staggering expose was Barack Obama, who was indeed a Manchurian candidate groomed for his position at an early age, which explained why his past was a blank. Not one witness coming forth from Columbia or Harvard to testify that he was ever there. How could we have been so gullible? We, too, were under a barrage of hypnotic mind control. Christians in government at all levels and in the military, media, and commerce have stepped forward in massive civilian arrest, common law grand juries, and class action lawsuits, indicting members of satanic networks unparalleled in the history of mankind. We're also in contact with foreign sources who have agreed to cooperate with us in divulging their direct knowledge of international conspirators tied to American positions of leadership in both church and state, which never was separated, but in the unholy bonds of Ficinorous Enterprise. Once the code of silence surrounding Pizzagate was broken, the pedophile rings in London, Norway, Vatican City, and elsewhere exposed the arrogance and vulnerability to secret societies and satanic ritual murders. The gold fringe flag, which represents an alien pirate jurisdiction, will no longer be the standard of American jurisprudence. The law of the land will return to the laws of God and English common law. We can do this without hesitation or pause, because a great deal of legislation that has been passed over the years is either unconstitutional, unbiblically, or outrightly fraudulent and foreign to our natural cultural identity. Today is not a day of celebration, but for the immediate reconciliation with God and pressing hard for the work before us. After taking the oath and being sworn in, I will depart for the Oval Office, and once there, will issue warrants for the arrest of some nearly 50,000 known traitors and criminal elements within government. This will be my first priority to fulfill my campaign promise of the war against treason and crime. We are entering a time of law and order to remove the sin in our national camp. I already have the assurance of many Christian military and police officers that these measures will not be impeded by those sympathetic to the former regime. In fact, we have identified those in law enforcement who have betrayed the Republic, and they will be arrested and given due process of law also. Christ said, "Bring hither mine enemies who do not want me to reign over them." And we intend to do just that and slay them in his presence. I'm ordering a presidential directive to close all borders and secure our territorial air and water so that no traitor may escape or that no one may aid and abet them by entering our land. We will secure our borders with the most sophisticated technology available so that no one dares to enter without permission. Our infantry will be withdrawn from foreign missions and placed on our southern border where they belong. This should come as no surprise to the rest of the world, as events have led us to this historic day. I want to reiterate to the leaders of other nations that we are no longer entangling American interest in the affairs of other nations. To wit, thou shalt not make any covenant with them nor with their gods. Exodus 23:32. As such, the United Nations, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bohemian Grove, the Skull and Bones, Freemasonry, their subsidiaries, and many more antithetical agencies to Christian nationalism will no longer operate within the United States. There will also be a reevaluation and reorganization of foreign embassies in this country and our consulates overseas. I am removing all diplomats and staff from non-white, communist, anti-Christian, and ungodly countries. Let me make the sternest caution to our enemies who wish to take advantage of this paradigm shift in our form of government. Our God will protect us and retaliate against any aggressive and hostile actions. Just this morning, Cuba attempted to fire antiquated missiles towards us, and they malfunctioned, decimating parts of Havana. Let that be a warning and example. America will now move forward with a national cleansing of all things that offend the God of creation. Once this campaign against treachery began, the beginning of the end for criminal immorality and institutional decadence was firmly identified in our platform and clearly defined. Therefore, the reality should shock no one. The day of reckoning has arrived for those responsible. Media moguls, editorial management, and those engaged in yellow journalism will be numbered among the accused and arrested. By the fruits of their insidious propaganda, we know them to have waged psychological warfare that has deceived millions of our people. This is nothing less than sedition to overthrow and the overthrow of our constitutional republic. The new head of the FCC will begin immediate scrutiny of what goes forth from the public airwaves on radio, TV, and the internet, especially truth in news reporting. This is the opposite of an Orwellian ministry of truth, but rather the ministry of God's truth. All broadcast licenses owned by Jews will be revoked to protect public airwaves. As free speech is encouraged for a free people, freedom is not mocked with purposeful lies, misrepresentations, or immorality, all of which will be met with strong consequences. The marketplace of ideas does not license an orgy of an anything goes free for all. We are once again a Christian nation and will be guided by Christian restraints. Even more importantly, targeted for accountability will be the religious leaders who have willingly promoted apostasy and anti-Christian collusion in behalf of the global despotism. It is doubtful that they are Christian at all, but a communist Trojan horse to infiltrate and subdue the spiritual well-being of America. The co-conspirators of fraudulent churches will now be held accountable. The lust for power can be clearly identified by a specific group of people. The Jewish problem will be foremost on the agenda of this president, and immediate plans are being executed for their complete purge. I'm appointing a Blue Ribbon Commission to educate Americans on the Jewish problem, to erase any doubts about the nature of Jewry. I hope this sends a clear message to the rest of the world and those who have suffered from Zionist perfidy, that the United States will take the lead in prosecuting the enemy of peaceful peoples. We have been taking action to dismantle the unlawful Israeli state and secure the Dimona nuclear facility since the reckless bombing of Jerusalem last year, with radioactive fallout making certain areas uninhabitable. Palestine will return to its indigenous inhabitants, and the Arab region will naturally stabilize because of this major change in U.S. foreign policy. And because of this threat to the entire world, there will be no safe haven for Jews anywhere. The economic afflictions perpetrated against the American people and the rest of the world is going to be resolved by removing the manipulators and speculators of markets and production. New technologies of energy, where patents have been stolen or suppressed by the fossil fuel monopolies, will replace these forms of pollution and price-gouging greed with vicarious innovation and inventions. Tesla electricity will become free and plentiful. Utilities will serve our people benevolently and not control their livelihood and safety with evil intentions. The weaponization of energy, food, and water will no longer be used against people, but rather dispersed wisely for their benevolent use. The new Secretary of Treasury will be free of any ties to Goldman Sachs, tied to the Rockefeller and or Rothschild dynasties, and will outline the eradication of the debt usury system and explain to the American people why the Federal Reserve, the Internal Revenue Service, the International Monetary Fund, the World Trade Organization, the World Bank, and other un-American banking institutions have acted contrary to the best interest and welfare of the American public. Jews and other immoral and unethical entities will be prohibited from participating in economic institutions. The giant gambling casino known as Wall Street will be dismantled, and the digital speculation of money changers will be replaced with ethical standards of labor and productivity. Lottos and lotteries will be abolished for the phantasm of hope that it has been. The spirit of greed will be considered predatory gain and contrary to our promotion of spiritual welfare. Free enterprise and innovation will return. Likewise, all educational institutions will no longer operate as a vehicle for the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. We will enter a new age of educational privatization and computer-assisted teaching methods, raising spiritual, moral, and intellectual standards. Our children will no longer be subjected to amoral philosophies and liberal propaganda at the university level. The educational system will no longer be connected to a system of corrupt taxation, which in the past had imperiled our posterity's future by placing families in the dire straits of indebtedness. The dumbing down of America is over. intelligence, and hard work will once again be rewarded by a merit system, not tenure, not cronyism, or arrogance. The election of a Christian nationalist is a call to act and defeat the crisis situation before us. Government is only half of the solution, or we could say it is only half of the problem. God gave us a choice between blessings and curses as a covenant people. Our people are just beginning to realize that we are under a divine contract. We are obligated to turn to the God, to our God, for national salvation. The last century incrementally turned to the government for health, wealth, happiness, and security. Government became a god. We are advised by Benjamin Franklin that any people that would give up liberty for a little temporary safety deserves neither liberty or safety. In this inaugural address today, I am making a declaration of dependence upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Furthermore, I declare a national year of repentance, not just a token day of lip service, to change our lives according to the laws of God. And I submit a year of Jubilee as a repudiation of the national debt. The ills we suffer have come upon us slowly over time. They will not go away for everybody all at once, but they will go away, because we, as white Christian Americans, have the divine calling from God to do good and preserve this last bastion of Christianity on earth. Our concern must be for what concerns our God. God has a special people unto himself, to the exclusion of others, even though we have been lied to for so long about equality. The truth is, the social experimentation with equality has been an abject failure and has done nothing but bring sin and suffering into our society. That is why it is imperative that we implement orderly racial separation throughout all of our society, not just for the betterment of the white race, but for the status of other ethnic groups as well. Moreover, I am appointing a special task force to deal with illegal aliens with an emergency quarantine area. There will be zero tolerance for criminal subversion or rioting, as has been the laxity of law in the past. Cooperation during this time of reorganization will be of benefit to all except for violent criminal factions who will be dealt with severely. America is going to get back to honest work for an honest day's wage. Work is the energy that animates the value of currency and commodities. Corporations and the business world will have to be re-educated to conform to Christian ethics. In fact, we will be rethinking the concept of corporate creations of the state in regards to responsibilities and liabilities. The concept of free enterprise and competition should not be confused with capitalism and socialism. Advancements in science will no longer be predicated on profit margins, but rather considered gifts from God for the advancement of his kingdom. Our food, air, and water supplies will be given the highest priorities for purity. We will share these new technologies with other Christian nations. As a consequence of high standards for products of consumption, we will be a healthier people, no longer dependent on a corrupt medical system. The AMA and Big Pharma will be the subject of a major criminal investigation. We will decriminalize the legitimate cures for cancer that have been suppressed and persecuted. We will vigorously prosecute those companies that willingly produce substances that cause cancer. Those responsible for withholding cheap and effective cures for a multitude of diseases through alternative medicines will be prosecuted. We will all glean from the bountiful blessings of God. If we work towards reviving our own physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, our government has no power except that granted by its creator. The former government exceeded its power by presuming to be God and violating the peace and well-being of the people. We will take immediate steps to eradicate all GMOs and restore agricultural integrity to the level of organics. We want to bring back the family farm with local incentives, which will be a part of our national economic reorientation. We will refresh the national memory that the land belongs to the Lord. The land will once again be hallowed ground dedicated to the glory of God. The government of God is here to help people, not to hinder them. It is no coincidence that our former troubles parallel and are proportionate to the corruption and malfeasance of office that was tolerated for so long. Finally, America said enough is enough, and we are on a new path of discovery for our future. Let our faith and hope chart a new course for living life more abundantly and putting away the old trappings of special interest groups. Our only focus is to reprioritize a special future and destiny for a truly unique race that alone has the dominion mandate. Intelligent design dictates our cultural role in the development of this earth, not the machinations of man. The days of secret societies, conspiracies, and intrigue are over, as well as their nefarious plans for a new world order in contradistinction to the kingdom of God. It is time for us to realize that we are too great a nation to limit ourselves to a meager existence, living from paycheck to paycheck, never to glimpse the dream of our potential while subsidizing the perpetuity of third world nightmares. We have proven that we are not doomed to an inevitable decline or Hollywood apocalypse, as some would have you believe. Instead, our steadfast Christian determination has fulfilled the prerequisites of what it is to be an overcomer. We have overcome the dark fate that the Antichrist taskmasters had so carefully planned for centuries. We are now converting the occult technologies of power against those who had designs against us. Top secret computers are now in the hands of Christian nationalists who have the expertise to penetrate its data and to compute the logistics of the many reforms we hope to initiate in the near future. This new administration is also grateful to the many ranking military officers who have come out of retirement to rectify security concerns jeopardized by traitors in uniform. But above the cadre of ex-military officers and enlisted men and their loyalty to the American people, we could not have won this election without the support of active duty military personnel who dared to mutiny against their treasonous former commander-in-chief, and those who had no loyalty to America, whose sole objective was to destroy Christianity and the white race. And they almost succeeded. Both retired and active duty men and women have courageously and decisively marched onward as soldiers for Christ. Because of their valiant actions, we now have the vision to see swords turned into plowshares, and to welcome a new Jerusalem on our soil. A new day where there will not be tears of sorrow, but of joy. We will hunt down every last vestige of wickedness and eliminate it. America now breathe a sigh of relief, knowing that phase one of the war against treason is in the process of successfully rounding up those responsible for our national demise. With all of our God-given creative energy at our command, we can begin phase two of implementing and maintaining an impregnable wall of truth to identify and counter those forms and manners which corrupt society and to guarantee our freedom in Christ. Non-Christian religions are hereby prohibited, as was the original intent of our founding fathers. Religions masquerading as Christian will no longer be free to inculcate doctrines contrary to the clear and express context of Scripture, especially those false churches that have shown themselves to be predatory and adverse to the well-being of the white race. We have every right and duty to put an end to false prophets who think they can espouse their poison with impunity. I pray that white Christian America will rapidly evolve in a spiritual unity transcending the old denominational forms and trappings. The 501c3 church is history. For those who may still have lingering doubts about our political resolves, let me remind you of the miracles of a vigilant electorate that conclusively found overwhelming evidence of vote fraud, election rigging, and ballot tampering in at least 75% of the precincts nationwide, and how this minority of traitors are being brought to justice. These doubts will turn to rejoicing when the cleansing process brings dramatic results once thought impossible. America is planting the seeds of righteousness for the entire world to see. We are nourishing a culture of overcomers, ridding the land of wanton sin, and bringing a light that glorifies God to the rest of the world. Scripture speaks of the bride preparing herself for the marriage supper of the Lamb, which we know to be Jesus Christ coming for his people Israel, who were brought to these shores of this Beulah land by the divine hand of God. Our nation has been robbed of its identity, but we are a people lost and found. We will find ourselves from our own heritage, which was almost destroyed. Our faith will move this mountain nation. We are a race of blessed entrepreneurs and conquerors, ready to create new jobs and opportunities. Our Christian values sustain the life of our national blood, which have been shed for our posterity. The goals of this administration will be a reflection for the yearning for God's kingdom by his people, so help me God. How can we love this land and not love our people, our own kind? We cannot. We love our kindred by reaching out when they fall, heal them when they are sick, and help them become self-sufficient in a land of bountiful blessings. By the same rules of logic, we will not enable paths of self-destruction or apathy. We can solve the complex problems before us. God willing, the answer is an emphatic affirmation that we don't want to go back to the near catastrophe that our nation was deeply engaged in. It would be insanity to revisit that condemned and crumbling empire of wickedness. In the days ahead, I will have many more Bible-based proposals that will lead us closer to the kingdom of heaven. For example, we will remove the roadblocks for the prevention and cure of cancer, which has claimed millions of lives and dollars. Alternative medicine can and will be given credibility in contrast to the old cut-burn drug medical establishment. The genocide of our race through abortion will be as much an abomination in the eyes of God as was the ancient practice of sacrificing sons and daughters into the fires of Moloch. Likewise, the new political force in America will not tolerate a culture of perversion and STDs any more than God tolerated Sodom and Gomorrah. God's laws will be strictly enforced in this area of the American way of life. On these principles of life and death, there will be no compromise. The Word of God will be the guiding influence that leads us unto the ways of life. The violations of God's laws will bring forth judgment. Steps will be taken to restore the three branches of government that can only be a reflection of God our King. He is our judge and lawgiver. God's servant people administrate the authority from God, not from themselves. This distinction was abandoned by previous generations, and they were cursed with wars and corruption. Progress may be slow, but we will move forward. We must act worthy of the mercies God has spent upon this nation. I believe we, the white Christian Americans of today, are ready to do what must be done to ensure liberty to the inhabitants of the land thereof. When the nuclear explosion on Jerusalem, launched by Jews themselves, occurred last April and destroyed that city forever, along with that were destroyed all the false prophecies about that part of the world. The so-called rapture is a dead doctrine. As a result, tens of millions of Christians have come out of that mysterious Babylonian church and have sought the truth of where we are today. And as our people remove their spiritual blinders and revive ourselves here in our own land, we will be seen throughout the world as having greater fortitude and resolve to be a beacon of light for freedom. To those neighbors and kindred tribes who share our love of God's justice and freedom, we will strengthen our racial bonds and assure them of our brotherly commitments and international support. Our earthly campaign worked hand in hand with our allies in Canada, and there are now simultaneous election results paralleling our experience here and abroad. White Christian America has gotten this far in the war against treason because each individual has fought without complaint, as if the issue of the whole struggle depended upon them alone. Although we fight against giant odds and diabolical adversaries, our willingness to believe in miracles and the divine hand of deliverance, there is a faith to believe that together with God's provisions, we can and will defeat the enemies from within and from without. Why shouldn't we believe that? After all, we are God's chosen people, and this is the greatest Christian nation in the history of mankind. In 1981, on the inauguration of actor Ronald Reagan, American hostages held by the revolutionary government of Iran were released. Today, on this historic date, on my day of inauguration, the American nation being held hostage by the satanic government of traitors has been released. We are no longer occupied or under captivity. As I speak, there are small numbers of those who betrayed this nation surrendering to the authorities. To them and all others complicit in the demise of our national suffering, I am proclaiming a 24-hour period of conditional amnesty. They will not be subject to the penalties of treason on the condition that they tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth as to the nature of their crimes and the naming of others who were party to the same and or other related acts of treason. But for the grace of God, there go I. Any one of us could have succumbed to the trappings of greed and the politics of personal ambition. Our righteousness has been compared to filthy rags, for all have sinned. However, with the Spirit of God's forgiveness, man can forgive man's trespasses through restitution. That is, those who are willing to restitute. We will be diligent in the forthcoming trials and prosecution of those who have betrayed the National Trust. Each of the accused will enjoy full due process of law before a decision is rendered. We are one nation under God and will perform our duties. We pray that not one innocent person will be misjudged. The ways and means of the former criminal justice system and institutional incarceration had become a commercial growth industry. It is no longer an option. Restitution or the death penalty is the only choice that God provides. We will quickly make the transition into a law and order society with peace and goodwill towards all. All political prisoners and those unjustly imprisoned will have their cases expedited for release. The non-white elements will not be released on American soil. If they committed capital crimes, they will be executed. The prisons will eventually be empty, and God's law will be in full force as the law of the land. We see no reason why anyone would resort to rebellion after it has been shown that the transformation of America can only be explained through the agency of divine intervention and that our nation and the world are entering a new age of understanding the meaning of life. We hope that the people of the earth will join us in establishing a new horizon in stewardship of our homes, our stores, and our environment. Only with the highest calling and love of God's creation can we acknowledge our work as responsible citizens. Many have been called by God to perform His will, but few have been chosen to do the task at hand. That's why the programs we are about to initiate may sound strange to those who are unfamiliar with the commandments of God. These commands, which we are about to undertake, are only grievous to those who persist in their old ways of sin and rebellion. Millions of non-whites are going to be deported to their homelands in a peaceful, orderly manner. The comprehensive plan for eugenics and racial integrity will be established, eliminating many of the birth defects that were a result of chemical pollutions. Deprogramming centers will be opened in every county seat and inform citizens about how they have been brainwashed and targeted for mind control by the enemies of Christianity. All Jews will be removed from all forms of media. We will enter a new era and paradigm in TV and radio programming. The nature and intent of theater, that is, movies, will dramatically change for a positive reconstruction of our society. These and many other exciting initiatives are going to pull a dysfunctional America out of the spiritual malaise, which has plagued our people for over a century. Our motives are not born out of fear, but rather the reasonable expectation of joy in doing what is right in the eyes of God. With cleansing comes holiness, and with holiness, a pure heart in service to God. Once again, we can be the promised land flowing with milk and honey. We have come out of the wilderness of despair. We have opened a door that no man can close, walking by faith through the valley of the shadow of death. I have been called upon by the American plebiscite to execute the functions of his primary minister of God, to preside in humble servitude to the laws, statutes, and judgments of the Word. Let us live by every word that proceeds from his mouth. My friends, we live in a world that is changing with lightning speed. But let us not forget that the thunder from God's heaven changeth not. His mercy endureth forever and transcends time. Now, as a people, we stand together again and think of our heritage. A general on his knees praying in the cold snow of Valley Forge. The heroes of the Alamo fighting with a loud voice of courage. Covered wagons pushing west. And now our modern David with one united slingshot between the eyes of a final Babylon. For all of our peculiarities, for we are a peculiar people, we are together, as in olden times, as we raise our hands and voices to the shining light of glory. May God continue to hold us close together as we fill the earth with the fruits of his kingdom. God bless America. Thank you.